From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Monday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready in the Clark Ford studio this morning. Pretty packed show. There's a good bit of baseball today. Some great NCAA decisions over the last 72 hours and more, including an update on the college decision process for Neil's family. So a little bit of that and more today on the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Highway 6 West in Oxford. Go in, get a daiquiri. I'm going to be up to 77 degrees today. I'm in a sweatshirt right now, but up to 77 by 1 or 2 o'clock this afternoon. So go in. Still is $3. You can get a daiquiri, 6 different flavors. A lot of sizes, up to 44 ounces if you like a lot of daiquiri this morning from, or a little later today probably, from the Oxford Exxon. 49-cent bottomless refills for fountain drinks, not daiquiris, just fountain drinks there at the Oxford Exxon and throughout Blue Sky locations in Mississippi. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the number you call. The number you ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. It's that simple. No haggling. No negotiating. Just he'll turn around in within the next 15 minutes in business hours and get right to the bottom line and send you a quote. At that point, it's up to you. It truly works this simple. You get your quote, and you can shop it and look for a better quote, or you can go ahead and take my word for it and take the word for so many other podcast listeners who have let Clark Ford take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. It's really simple. You get a great Ford product, great service after the sale, all without the hassle and all the haggling and all of those things, and we'll make it even better. Mention any of our family of podcasts, obviously including this one, and it's $500 off the bottom line from Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900.
So we'll first, how'd the weekend go here? You liked Arkansas pretty well.
Yeah, well, I did like Arkansas. Now, I will say that I'm not the one choosing schools.
Sorry, your child liked
yes,
Arkansas.
I've
well.
Made this very clear to her and to anyone else that I'm done with college. I have been to almost 6 years of college. I'm not going back to college. I'm not sure that if you offered me the option to go back in time and go back to college that I'd even take it. I'd think about it, but I don't know. But as it stands, I'm not going to college, so I've had to remind her a few times, this is your decision. She liked Arkansas a lot. They do a really, 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 really good job of the freshman tour.
Mm-hmm.
Exceptional. There are schools all over the country that probably should go watch what they do and follow it. She liked it a lot, so much so that we probably should have stayed another night and just hung out there and explored it a little bit more. But she had an appointment at OU, so we did that. And OU was fine. It just, she didn't like Norman. I didn't like Norman either. The school's okay. The school's pretty. The area around it is not particularly pretty. I think Fayetteville was, you've been up there some. It was, I've been up there a bunch, but I've never really been on campus. And I've never really been, like, to Dixon Street and stuff. Because we've always stayed, like, in Springdale or
Rogers.
Being
a baseball writer, I have a little different understanding of some of these colleges because I spend so many three-day weekends in these places where you have nothing but time to kill. And because the population is not centered around a football game, you can stay actually in the city you're watching the game in. So it's a lot different.
Yes, it was kind of my first time to really get downtown Fayetteville. Mm-hmm. And downtown Fayetteville, to me, and feel free to correct me. I've spent a whopping 4 hours there now. A bigger Oxford is very Oxfordish to me. It reminded me of Oxford, the square area, Dixon Street, had an Oxford sort of feel, but bigger to me. Just me. That's what it felt like to me. I could be right. I could be wrong. People can yell at me. It's okay. I'm not. That's Norman felt like a different place than what she's used
to. Well, Oxford and Fayetteville, something that they have in common, and when I mean Fayetteville, I kind of mean Fayetteville, and I kind of mean that area in general when you throw in some other towns as well. It's sort of an oasis compared to everything else around it for both of them. I think that's fairly fair. I mean, as I've said the entire time, Fayetteville's not bad. It's just way the heck over there. You put that puppy in Tuscaloosa, and everybody likes Fayetteville a whole lot more than they like Fayetteville right now. There's no doubt about that.
It is out of the way to a degree. We did it in 5:45.
It's just it's not the difficulty. It's the frustration of the drive with I-40. It's the distance, but it's the pain in the tailness of it.
Yeah. Once you get to Little Rock, it's okay. Just for whatever reason, Oxford to Little Rock is like forever. No, we did the trip. Made it from Norman to here in 7 hours and 58 minutes.
Yeah, no thanks.
Stopped twice. Stopped once to get gas, and stopped once in Russellville at the Chick-fil-A.
That was it.
That's it, baby. I said, you guys.
You were pointed south.
I said, you guys, if someone needs to go, let me know.
Otherwise, here we are.
Otherwise, I'm rolling.
I want to spend 2 minutes on this. Got a lot of stuff. You mentioned this to me, so I kind of want to get your take in a podcast form now. We've talked for years. You and I have covered some semblance of recruiting for a decade now, give or take. And we've always been pretty focused on final visit. Final visit, final visit. Ole Miss has always done a pretty good job of getting that next to last weekend in a recruiting calendar, because the last weekend is a bunch of also-rans and trying to fill up things after things go wrong with Plan Bs. You don't want the February 1 date. But the one before that, that January 24th, 25th weekend, we always go, hey, that's the one. Let them go a couple other places. Then they come to you. You're changing a little on this.
Well, now look, she's not an athlete, and so the visits are different. But she's that age. She turns 17 tomorrow. Smartest person in the world. Like every other 17-year-old. Mm-hmm. It very, very easily influenced right now.
See, that's why you won't last visit, is the influence of it.
Yeah. Unless you know you're going to hit a ball at least off the top of the wall somewhere. Because after Friday, it was in her mind, it was kind of over. So that's, you're competing against that bar. I want to be the school, if I'm recruiting an athlete, I think I now want to get an earlier visit and set a really high bar where I'm on the mind the whole time, even at other visits.
I do think it's different as you have 4 or 5 visits versus 2, though. Let the bump wear off this week. You go somewhere else that does a really good job next week. Then you go somewhere else that does a really good job the next week, too. And it does at least cloudy it, I think, at that point.
I do. You know how on like Martin Luther King weekend, a lot of kids will squeeze 2 official visits in? I do not. If I'm a school, I do not want to be on the back end of one of those.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You're
caught up in the bump from the other school still.
Yes.
You're in the wave.
Yes. I'm not there. I have a totally different appreciation for it. There's some strategy involved.
There is.
And they did a really, really good job. I mean, it was strong. I was impressed. So it's pretty up there.
It's pretty. Pretty doesn't do much for me, but I do understand it's very pretty.
Yeah, I'm not going back to college. I've made this really clear. People, to the point that people have gotten irritated with me. People say, well, if you could go back, what would you do? Am I going into journalism? Because if I'm going into journalism, I'm just going to Missouri. I'm done. Because I've watched Dennis Dodd become a national writer based off of a Missouri degree. Because that dude's a lapdog, man. We'll get to it in a little while.
Yeah,
he's a national college football writer with minimal talent. I'm going to Missouri if I have it to do all over again. Now, if I'm not in journalism, what am I in? And then I'll make a decision from there.
Right.
But now kids, it's all about, okay, well, who's my roommate going to be in sororities and fraternities? See, I wouldn't, if I had a do-over, I would never fool with fraternities. It was not, and that's no knock on fraternities. I didn't need them. They didn't do anything for me. So anyway, there's your update.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll go to baseball, because if I get on the NCAA thing, we might not get off of it, so I need to hit some other things prior to that. So hang around, we'll get there.
I'm eager to get there.
Tease in a little bit, but
I promise that I will not belabor the baseball point, because I've kind of made my point in 10 weekend thoughts, and that's probably going to be the extent that I add to the conversation. So go ahead.
A little poll update. Ole Miss up to number 3 in Baseball America following a 2-2 week. It is more evidence that pollsters give no crap whatsoever about midweek games. It's just about what you do on the weekend. Ole Miss takes 2 out of 3 against LSU and has the most important inning of their season to date in the ninth inning against the Tigers on Saturday afternoon. So Ole Miss now 34-11, 12-9 in the SEC. They are 9-5 against the top 25 in the nation in the Baseball America poll. I think they're 6-3 against the top 25 in RPI. I'm writing about that little letter today. But
what's their RPI right now? About 4?
It was 7 this morning. But that's where this thing gets a little weird. I don't care about the top 25s. Those aren't going to be anything at the end of the day. That is what it is.
Okay.
There's a logjam at the top of the SEC for a national seed race situation.
Florida's getting one.
Yeah, and then I think 2 more get them. I think they get 3 of the 8.
Okay.
You're probably not getting 4 of the 8.
So who's in the mix? Florida's got one. So the other schools in the mix, Arkansas, Ole Miss,
Georgia. And as of today, Auburn has a number 7 RPI.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, they played Florida. Even if you lose to Florida, it pops you up. And they beat them once. They went 1-2 against the Gators.
Yeah. The truth is, if you told Auburn going into that weekend, hey, you can get 1, okay.
Yeah, fine. If they'd said, hey, you're going to get the middle game, they'd have been lighting their stuff on fire because Casey Myers still had to throw in one of the other ones, but they lost that game.
Yeah.
Florida's number 1 in the RPI. They're getting 1. Done. Locked up. Period.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Next. I mean, we can belabor that point if you'd like to, but there's no reason. They're
Stanford
in.
Stanford is getting 1. Number 2 in the nation, 33-6, 24-3 at home. They're getting 1.
Yeah, they're in.
Okay. Texas Tech, they're getting 1.
Yes.
They are 11-7 in the SEC, I mean, in the Big 12. They are 33-12 overall at number 3 in the RPI.
Yeah.
North Carolina went to Raleigh and took a series over the weekend. Huge series for them. They're getting 1 as of now. North Carolina, number 4 overall. They are 18-6 in the ACC, 31-13 overall. They're in good shape. Okay, here we are. Arkansas 5, Auburn 6, Ole Miss 7, Georgia 8 in the RPI.
Say it again.
Arkansas 5.
Okay.
Auburn 6.
Okay.
Ole Miss 7, Georgia 8 right now.
So 2 of those 4 are going to get national
seeds. That is what I believe. Ole Miss gets Auburn at home here in a few weeks. Ole Miss has already beaten Arkansas 2 out of 3.
Right.
And they've beaten Georgia 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
So Ole Miss is 4-2 against the other two teams that they have played to this point.
So they're in pretty solid shape.
A&M's also kind of lurking at 11, but it would take some stuff there, I think, for them to really jump into this argument. And Ole Miss has beat them 2 out of 3 in College Station, by the way.
Right.
So looking at some metrics real quick. They're all really, really good at home, whatever. I don't care about that. Group 1 RPI. Group 1 RPI records, Arkansas is 14-8.
What is Group 1, by the way?
It's 50-ish. I think it's top 50, but it's somewhere in that. They know they've changed. It's like basketball now. Everything's in groups now.
I'm trying to be the voice of the common man.
Yeah, no, you're fine. The higher the group, the better.
And yes, I am one of you, common man.
Group 1 down to Group 4 is the way they rank this.
All right, gotcha. So Group 1.
14-8 for Arkansas.
Okay.
10-12 for Auburn.
Okay.
10-8 for Ole Miss. 10-7 for Georgia.
So
Arkansas.
Advantage Arkansas there.
Arkansas coming off a week, too, where they beat Texas Tech in the midweek. Okay. So they got a pretty good midweek win right there for whatever that's worth.
And they swept Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah, big deal.
Which we'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
Group 2, if you care, Arkansas 7-3. So they've got more losses to Group 2 than anybody else. Auburn 10-1, Ole Miss 10-2, Georgia 15-6. And then you just don't want losses in the other group. Ole Miss has one loss in the other group, or the other two groups. one loss total.
Yeah.
Georgia has one loss total. Arkansas has two losses total, and Auburn has one loss total.
So that's a wash.
It's very, very close it all is. The way around.
It's very close.
Right now, Arkansas has a game lead on Ole Miss in the standings. Ole Miss then has a lead on some other people in the standings. They're in second by their lonesome at the moment.
If the tournament were seeded today, Ole Miss would be the 4 seed in Hoover?
No, they'd be the 3.
3, okay.
Because they would have beaten Georgia. Ole Miss and Georgia are both 12-9 right now.
Gotcha.
The way this works, by the way, in Hoover is the 2 league champions are 1-2, no matter what their records are corresponding to anything right. else.
So today would be Florida would be 1, Arkansas would be 2.
Then Ole Miss would be 3, gotcha. Georgia would be 4, okay. and then
the rest
there,
of the field would play to fill out the field.
Right, because the top 4 people don't have to play until Wednesday in the double elimination portion gotcha. Of the event. 5 through 12 play a single elimination game on Tuesday in Hoover.
I'm aware.
Yeah, just filling you in.
And I get to cover that this year.
You do?
Yes, sir. Oh, you all are in for a treat.
Bama won't be there.
I know.
They're gone.
Mama, how come we ain't playing?
You've never seen more football jerseys at a baseball venue than when Alabama's in Hoover for the SEC tournament,
it's
baby.
It's my favorite thing. So did I tell you about – I didn't – forgive me. I'm scattershot today.
It's fine. Got which, about 5 minutes before we move on to something else.
All right. Oh, we're on the clock. Okay.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay. So we're leaving Fayetteville. It's like 3:30, 4 o'clock. I don't know, Friday afternoon. We should have just stayed. Anyway, we're driving by Baum on the way out of town, and there's this couple wearing Dallas Keuchel jerseys.
Couple.
A male and a female.
Same jersey or like different colors? Like one white, one red?
Different colors. But no, they were Astros jerseys.
Oh, not Arkansas.
No.
Jerseys.
Astros jerseys. And I don't know why, but I laughed for 30 minutes. It made me laugh for 30 minutes.
Matching Keuchel jerseys.
Matching Keuchel jerseys. It cracked me up, and I don't know why. Arriving at the ballpark at least 2.5 hours early.
I'm ready.
There were a lot of people streaming in there that early.
Well, yeah. They fill it up.
Yeah, it was just...
It's a really good baseball fan base. They're kind of laid back. We've talked about this. Not a great atmosphere.
All right, so that's a transition into this, because let me break something to you all. When it comes to this part, the NCAA has 2 agendas on this bad boy. One, they want to grow the sport, because God knows. And 2...
There's not really a grow the sport option, though. As I look down this thing... Oregon State's at 9, Clemson's 10, A&M's 11, Florida State's 12. Ooh. Okay, this is a host this is a host site, but not a national seat.
Okay,
so this isn't going to affect Ole Miss.
Well, I'm talking about hosting first.
Okay, hosting. Here's 3 interesting ones for you, okay?
Yep.
You got the Connecticut Huskies at 13 in the RPI. Got
to grow the sport.
Storage going to get a regional?
Damn right they are.
All right.
Book it.
Stetson at 16.
Where is Stetson? That's down in Florida, right?
Yeah. The Hatters are going to get a...
No, because you don't have to grow the sport there. It's already grown.
So Stetson suffers because of their geographic location, even though they're in a crap conference.
Yes.
Okay. East Carolina at 17. Cliff going to get a regional at 17?
Got a good shot.
But North Carolina, you don't have to grow the sport.
I know.
Everybody's good.
Everybody's good. I know.
Wichita at 19.
Oh, they'll probably get one.
Jacksonville at 18.
No.
Okay, here's the other one. Here's the last one.
All right.
And when this is probably going to happen, I'm going to be pissed off for a couple days about this. At number 20, the Indiana Hoosiers.
Oh.
Is that just in the realm enough?
Yeah. Oh, to put one in the Midwest. Yeah, of course.
5-5 against Group 1. They don't have an egregious number.
They're in.
You think they're in good shape?
Yes.
9-5 in the Big Ten, 31-10 overall.
You know I'm really good about this. Would you agree I'm really good at this? I know the NCAA like the back of my hand.
Okay, so who's getting screwed is the question.
Read me 12 through 20 again.
Florida State at 12.
They're a candidate.
North Carolina State at 14.
If East Carolina gets in, North Carolina State gets screwed.
Yeah. Kentucky at 15 is not hosting. So that's one out anyway.
Right, because the SEC has too many already.
Yeah, and they're 10-11 in the league right now. Okay. They're not. Well, 16 Stetson, 17 East Carolina. There's actually room to move Indiana up with pushing some of these other mid-majors down.
Of course there is.
Problems.
Yes, sir.
But even in a logical sense.
But what I was going
to say. I also think Oklahoma State, by the way, is hosting, even though they're at 21 right now, they're 15-3 in the Big 12.
What I was going to say was This is where it's advantage Ole Miss and Arkansas in this national seed thingy.
It's where if I'm Auburn, I'm frustrated. I'm freaked out.
If
right
I'm Auburn,
now.
I'm really worried.
And Georgia should be worried.
If I'm Georgia, I'm worried too. Ole Miss and Arkansas are both going to put however many thousand they can squeeze into that place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Ole Miss is going to pack it out, as you saw this last weekend, and Arkansas is going to pack it out. That's done. No one, you can love Arkansas, love Ole Miss, hate Arkansas, hate Ole Miss. You can't make that argument. They're both going to pack it out. Auburn and Georgia can't say the same. And I'm telling you, if I'm the NCAA and I'm doing the bean counting, I'm putting one in Fayetteville and I'm putting one in Oxford before I'm putting one in those other places.
Yeah, if it's all even, this is an easy decision.
Super easy, which is why if you're Auburn or Georgia, you better make this thing not even.
Especially when you're Auburn and Georgia that are losing to Arkansas and Ole Miss on the field.
Yeah. But if I'm the NCAA and I know I'm putting one in Florida, which isn't going to be packed out.
And Stanford's not going to pack it out there.
I'm getting me a super regional in Arkansas, and I'm getting me a super regional at Ole Miss if I can.
And everybody goes, oh, no. Now, remember, they're seeding 1 through 16. Yeah,
shut
they're
up.
Still going to move them around as well as they need to move them around, guys.
Shut the up. If you don't think the NCAA is thinking about bean counting in these
deals. Well, and that gave this gives the NCAA more flexibility to be funny because now they can just say, hey, this is where we rank these teams, and now let's pair them up this way in the next round.
Yeah.
So they can go, hey, let's put A&M, if they win theirs, in Fayetteville.
Of course.
Let's do that.
Of course. And that's what they'll try to do because they don't want six SEC teams in Omaha.
And what you know, you take a yeah, we're going to give East Carolina a host, but we're going to send them to Oxford in the super regional round, so they don't have to potentially host that super regional, and you get Cliff and Ole Miss and Cute and all that.
You could do that, or you could set up a deal where maybe Georgia or Auburn came to Oxford for a super regional.
Like Wichita State's head coach was an assistant at Arkansas. They're going to Fayetteville at some point,
yeah.
At least on a schedule.
Yeah. That's how that stuff works. If I'm Ole Miss and Arkansas, I got to keep winning. I mean, we'll finish with this. If Ole Miss has this 3 weekends left, 5-4 is a minimum, Chase.
Oh, minimum. Oh, I don't think it's enough. National seed is 6.
Got to go 6-3.
You got Bama down there.
I know.
And then they're 67 in the RPI. They're bad.
Here's reality. We've done this. Well, you don't have to sweep. You don't have to.
And on the road.
I think you got to go sweep at Alabama.
That's a tough sweep. I mean, on the road sweeps, I don't care who the team is.
And you got to get 2 against Auburn. And preferably
you have to get 2 against Auburn.
And preferably you get 2 this weekend at Carolina, and that's hard.
Well, now they're playing well right now.
I know.
They swept LSU 2 weeks ago and took 2 out of 3 from Vanderbilt this weekend.
I mean, everybody should – if you're one of these Ole Miss fans that gets nervous about every game, which is understandable, load up on your Pepto and your Pepsid or whatever it is that you take this weekend.
Ole Miss could play well and go 1-2 this weekend in Columbia.
Ole Miss could play okay and get swept.
Yeah. You got to play well. So
Ryan Rollison hasn't pitched a bigger game than the one that he'll throw Friday night.
I think so. Well, have one more little baseball thought. We come back in a second. First, the podcast brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. 662-607-7773 is the phone number, mastercutslawn.com. And as the temperatures are heating up, time to sign that annual contract. Let them take care of your yard all year long. I noticed yesterday on my driveways, they look better than everybody else's because they've been pressure washed by MasterCuts. You get free pressure washing of driveway and sidewalks by signing an annual contract. And they will also do a 2,000 square foot pressure washing job or more for $50 off. 662-607-7773.
I've been telling you for a while about Harry Alexander. Harry is the sponsor of 10 Weekend Thoughts. You can go to 10 Weekend Thoughts at rebelgrove.com. It's part of the Rivals Network. You may have heard of it. A lot of baseball content there at the site. A lot of some basketball recruiting up on the site as well. So check it out at rebelgrove.com. Check out Harry Alexander at harryalexander.com. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties Neighborhoods tab, filter through by what you are looking for, and then send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. Ole Miss fans living in or moving to Dallas, if you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Metroplex, give Lauren Valick Ferris with Briggs Freeman Sotheby's a call. Lauren is consistently ranked as a top agent producer in D Magazine, was recently named a 2017 Advocate Top 10 Realtor in the Lakewood East Dallas area. So whether you're moving home, buying, selling, or referring a friend in one of the hottest housing and job markets in the country, you need a realtor who knows the town. Call her 469-867-1734 or go to her site, Lauren and Kelly, that's EY. .com. Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high ticket product or service, that's HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, any of that, Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application with rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580. They will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. He's waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings. So call him today. And the podcast is brought to you by Gambrell and Associates. Gambrell and Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Superlawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state. Gambrell and Associates handles Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford at 662-281-8800.
So last, putting the bow on baseball for the weekend, they won a must-win game on Saturday. They fell behind 7-4 after a six-run inning for LSU. Looked pretty dire at the time. Things weren't going well. Mike made a questionable decision going to Max Chofi before Will Etheridge and replacing James MacArthur. Etheridge does get in the inning, though. He throws up a bunch of zeros, gives them a chance to come back, and then they put up a five spot in the seventh, keyed by Thomas Dillard, full count home run. Got every bit of it. And then in the ninth, Etheridge gives up two base runners. They go to Caracci. They walk in a run. The home plate umpire is every bit of pathetic both ways. He has no idea what a strike zone is. Palmieri gets run on purpose at some point during this inning as well. A little climactic. Caracci gets out of it, and Ole Miss wins that game. I mean, from a swing game standpoint, it's immeasurable what that meant to Ole Miss, because LSU's RPI is outside the top 50 right now. It's a Tigers team that is having a hard time believing in itself. They're frankly in trouble. And Ole Miss got it done. It wasn't always pretty, but that doesn't matter. It's a W or an L, and you move on to the next day. So
yeah, the beauty pageant of this portion of the season is over.
Yeah. It's something pretty simple right now. It's you win or you lose, and you move on to the next day. But some people have talked about this. Maneri absolutely got ran on purpose. A college coach knows that if you make one mention of balls and strikes, you are eliminated. You are ejected from the game. There were two outs in the ninth inning. You weren't going to come out, argue, and then later on in the game get the benefit of said arguing. Maneri in his head goes, hey, this guy gets out. I can spend a minute arguing. I can kind of change the rhythm of this situation. And then we'll see what happens in a second. And that's what happened. I mean, he was tossed within 10 seconds. He came out, he used a couple magic words, and this thing was over. You've all seen Bull Durham and different things. He did some college semblance of that, I have a feeling.
Is that word the one that ends in sucker and has a is that word a magic word in college too?
I would assume it probably would be. Probably not used as much, but because, I mean, I'm talking about a hook. I mean, he wasn't two steps out of the dugout, and Morris Hodges is already throwing the arm up. Like, it was quick.
It's a word that rhymes with rock sucker.
Yeah. Oh. And somebody goes, no, he was just, he knew what he was doing. Come on.
There are people doing my kids in the car, Neil. Yeah. Sorry.
Didn't say anything.
I didn't say anything.
Anyway. I like coach ejections. Mike doesn't get tossed enough. Kind of enjoy him.
Well, sometimes you've got to go get your money's worth.
He actually didn't hang around as long as I kind of wanted him to hang around. He left a little quicker than I would have left.
He was worked up. I saw the video. He was not excited.
It was team scuffling right now.
Well, and you know, you got a long afternoon, and you're about to lose one, and you know the strike zone's been bad both ways.
It's been bad both ways. And frankly, the ball he griped about, it looked worse because Fortes kind of dropped it. It was pretty close to just side ball at the knees.
But once you're that worked up and you're about to take the L.
Any reason, okay.
Yeah, you've had enough.
Hodges is awful, though. He's the Angel Hernandez of the SEC from an officiating standpoint. He likes to be seen.
It's like Cubs Brewers yesterday. That home plate umpire was struggling, and you can hear sort of the ambient sound down on the field. You could hear both dugouts barking.
Well, you know, it's Mike's signature move, and he did it a little. He did it with Dillard a few weeks ago, big time. Might have even been Hodges then too, but he wanted to do it with Gray, but he had to calm down Gray. Gray had a really nice at bat that kept that seventh inning going on Saturday, and strike two was a ball that was a good 8 inches away from being a strike, and Gray body language and had to step out of the box to keep from cussing Hodges himself, I think. Mike had to come out and deal with him, but Mike will stare at the player and be moving his arms in the face of the player and just dog cussing the umpire from about 10 feet away. And the player's trying not to laugh. He just kind of got his head down going, yeah, he's not even talking to me. I'm just letting him yell at me. But he's actually yelling at the umpire. Yeah. So that's
well, and the umpire hears it.
Oh, well, yeah.
It's by design, yes.
Yeah, but you're not showing him up, so you can't really run the guy for looking at the play. It's a gray area there that's very hard to...
Some of the unwritten rules of baseball.
Yeah.
Including you cannot accuse an umpire of being a rock sucker. Will not work.
Or arguing balls and strikes.
Either one, you're out. Yeah. And if you do both, which I suspect Maneri did... You're gone.
I think he spent a batter before that going, okay, so what words am I going to use here?
What? I think it was somewhat organic, probably. But, yeah, I think he probably had some degree of a plan as to what he was going to say. I like Paul Maneri. I've met him a few times. He's a really good guy. So
mild-mannered a lot of times.
Yeah, he's a really nice man. His father is one of the nicest people I've ever met. He planned it a little. He used words that he probably does not use in common conversation. Over a coffee this morning with a friend.
Whatever LSU's bullpen club is, they probably don't get those words.
So. Oh, shoot.
Anyway, Ole Miss, Pine Bluff, Wednesday. Okay, fine.
Don't need to lose. Need to get a W, and it doesn't matter how ugly the W is.
21-1 or 2-1.
You know, whatever. Wednesday, F it. Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's like Arkansas. I mean, their entire season would have been derailed about a month ago because they were losing to Grambling in the eighth inning.
Almost lost to Louisiana Monroe. Ooh. Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. Now, so, real quick, because I'm curious now. I know the rest of Ole Miss's schedule. What's the rest of Arkansas's?
Let's find it real quick. I was going to write about it later today, so I need to pull it up anyway. Yeah, but look at those three real quick. We move on. Arkansas, again, 13-8 in the SEC as of this moment. They go to Baton Rouge this weekend.
Okay.
Tough place to play, but.
Arkansas typically finishes a season well.
And then they're going to earn it or they're not going to earn it. They host A&M and go to Georgia.
Oof. It's advantage Ole Miss there.
Got Bama that last weekend when Arkansas is in Athens.
Ole Miss needs to just make sure it doesn't get swept this weekend.
Yeah, you can't get swept. I mean,
gotta win one. Two is preferable, but one is fine.
Auburn, a weird final schedule. They host Vanderbilt this weekend. They go to Ole Miss and then come home and host what's going to be a desperate LSU team the final weekend.
Yeah, that's tough.
From an at-large standpoint.
That's tough.
That's advantage Ole Miss, too.
Yeah.
And then A&M, just for purposes. I mean, A&M's only a game back of Ole Miss in the West. Florida, Arkansas, South Carolina.
Yuck.
Finishing up.
It's a tough league, man.
Ooh.
Tough. It's a tough league.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. It's not good. All right, so we'll go into this conversation with the Ole Miss news portion of it.
Are we about to start yelling at the NCAA?
If you'd like.
Okay.
on Friday, Shea Patterson was given his immediate eligibility to the University of Michigan for 2018. A little stat for you, by the way. You know Georgia Tech threw more touchdown passes than Michigan last season?
I did not know
Georgia
that.
Tech.
I was unaware.
They do not run a traditional offense.
I'm aware of that.
Okay. All right. So the layman's terms of what happened here is the, to some journalism circles, the omnipotent Tom Marsh, he wrote up a waiver claim or helped Michigan with whatever to try to get Shea Patterson helpful, and it was basically thrown out. They said that that's not going to be what flies and gets this thing done. It is not possible, blah, 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 blah. So instead, the NCAA had recently changed some language. I know you're shocked. That allows schools to go in and kind of work out deals for leniency and transfer situations. And now, look, I actually was talking about with Ross Bjork about this on Saturday. It's a very high bar. It's going to take NCAA violations. It's going to take something off the field. There's going to be some reason that a player, at least from a legal standard, wants to get out. Does that make sense for everybody?
Yes.
Like, let's not argue semantics on whether that's right or wrong. Just that's what happened, though. So, in Ole Miss, which, again, much to the chagrin and the vocabulary of a lot of national guys, it was never about Shea Patterson playing or not playing. They didn't give a crap. They don't give a crap. They weren't going to admit to something they did not believe was true in the language set forth by Marsh. That's what this entire thing was about, was Marsh and Patterson criticized them or accused them of things that Ole Miss deemed untrue. So you're not going to support claims against you that you find untrue. That should be common sense and logic, but it's void in this situation in a lot of circles. So the quote given out on Friday, this is from Ole Miss.
Yes.
The University of Mississippi promptly reached out to the University of Michigan, to discuss how these new standards could impact the University of Mississippi's support of a transfer student athlete's desire to compete immediately at the University of Michigan. The University of Mississippi and the University of Michigan have worked together over the last several days in conjunction with the NCAA National Office and with a focus on the best interest of the student athlete to put forward a new waiver application. The new application was submitted this week by the University of Michigan and supported by both schools. The NCAA then approved said application and Shea Patterson can play now. Okay. Then you get this great nugget. Jim Harbaugh talking to the Detroit News. You seen this quote?
Yes.
Okay. Discussing free agency in college football. Same Jim Harbaugh that took the Michigan plane to Oxford and took players to IHOP, by the way.
Yes.
That Jim Harbaugh.
Well, it was a pancake special.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Bananas and chocolate chip for free?
Yeah.
Who paid for that?
Oh, the individual players.
Deontay paid for his pancakes?
Oh, yes, of course. How dare you? How dare you even assert the possibility?
Deontay paid for the tip, too?
Yes.
Separate tips?
Yes. How could you even? Oh, if you think if you think Jim Harbaugh would do anything untoward in the recruiting process of these student athletes, you have another thought coming.
According to the Detroit News, quote from Jim Harbaugh in regard to free agency in college football, there's got to be something. Maybe the school pays back the other school. Say a school like Michigan gets a player from Eastern Michigan or Central Michigan or transfers. Maybe you have to pay the scholarship back, or maybe it counts as an extra scholarship just so it doesn't become free agency in college football. That's what I worry about. Maybe things got a little tough. Maybe things got a little hard. It's usually better to stick it out. It's usually better to stay at the place you are and see something through. I don't think we want to send the message in college football, it's not working out, or if it's getting tough or hard, go somewhere else. Does this man even understand what he is saying out of his mouth?
Sometimes I question who can be more tone deaf.
He was a dude that when he got hired, we thought, you know, pretty good at the PR. Now, no, he's a psychopath. He's a caricature now that has lost all credibility from the standard of logic and common sense in everything he does. I mean, at some point, shut up because you can't beat Ohio State. He has finished no higher than third in his division to this point.
Lost to Northwestern last year.
Third. Not second, even. Third.
I know.
Frankly, he should be fired at the end of the year if it doesn't go well.
I'll tell you this. Two things.
Yep.
One, he's tone deaf. He's proven that he's tone deaf. And two, and I hate to...
Credit to Barrett Salee for writing all this, by the way, for instead of the guys who just... tell Jim he's awesome in print every day.
And Barrett gets yelled at for being, quote, an Ole Miss homer. How in God's name is Barrett Salee an Ole Miss homer? Somebody explain that to me. I mean, how is Barrett Salee an Ole Miss homer? I mean, how do you even justify that argument? It is the damnedest.
Because he mentioned in passing once that the NCAA, a portion of the NCAA investigation was some semblance of a witch hunt.
It was.
Yeah. That's.
I said this, I think, on Friday. I'm going to say it again. The first part of Ole Miss's NCAA stuff, the first NLI or NOA, it's pretty legitimate, frankly. Oh, you can say they nitpicked. Okay. Well, they have stuff. Ole Miss was guilty of everything in it. Agreed?
All good.
The second part of that was a witch hunt. You tell me what happens around the country if the NCAA conducts basically a three-year investigation into, let's say, Georgia. A three-year investigation into Georgia that comes up with some findings. Going to be some punishment. It's all legit. And then they turn around and quietly launch a private second investigation that does not inform the University of Georgia that it's... I mean, there would be chaos. The second part of it was a witch hunt. Barrett was right. Ole Miss got convicted of buying Leo Lewis without much evidence that they bought Leo Lewis and with evidence that the program that got Leo Lewis bought Leo Lewis. Think about that a minute. Now, as it pertains to Michigan, here's what else is interesting. They have begun the painting of Shea Patterson as savior. I covered Shea Patterson. I mean, who's on Michigan's schedule next year?
They open or play Notre Dame at Notre Dame the second week.
Tell me Michigan's schedule because I'm going to tell you which teams he's going to light up like a Christmas tree.
You want Michigan's schedule?
Yeah, I want Michigan football schedule 2018.
All right, I got Michigan's football schedule 2018.
Who they got?
They played their spring game. It was actually canceled.
Yeah.
Huh?
Snowed out.
Oh, was it?
Uh-huh.
Okay. They open up in South Bend, Indiana.
Not going to have a field day there.
Not going to have a field day there.
Nope.
They come home for the home opener and play the Western Michigan Broncos.
He's going to light them up like a Christmas tree. He's going to play an arcade game.
He's going to stay at home the next week, and he's going to play Dylan's SMU Mustangs.
Throw that thing all over the field. Going to be an early Heisman candidate right there. He might throw for 500 yards that day.
Back-to-back home games. Oh, well, Notre Dame was just getting his feet wet. All's
good. Oh, yeah,
yeah.
All's good, baby. Here we go.
They stay home for a third game in the row and play the Nebraska Cornhuskers.
I don't know much about them, but the numbers will begin to come down.
Okay. The next week, they go to Evanston, Illinois.
My boys.
Yes.
My boy Pat Fitzgerald's going to have a plan for him. Going to make some mistakes that day. Go throw a pick or two.
Could lose that day.
Get a little funky body language. Daddy's going to get pissed off on Facebook.
That day?
Oh, yeah, that next day.
Okay, hold on.
Because someone's going to write that Shea Patterson might not be everything that we thought he was. And, oh,
let's see him do it against somebody.
That's going to piss off Big Sean. Because Big Sean does not understand journalism. And I have the conversation on my phone to prove it to you. I need to be covering a pro team.
Let the day go right, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
But right here, because let him lose to Northwestern. Let Jordan Tomo win in Tiger Stadium that night. Ole Miss is at LSU that day.
It's an unfair comparison for everyone involved, but it's going to happen.
Well, I just mean from a Sean Patterson standpoint.
Oh, tough.
Still got a lot of Facebook friends from Ole Miss on there.
And little Sean's going to have to pretend to be happy about it if he's still on the payroll.
All right, so he's going to get healthy after Northwestern to some degree, I would assume, even though I know nothing about them. They come back home for homecoming and play the Maryland Terrapins.
Don't know much about them.
Okay, Okay, here is the 3 weeks where this thing could get squirrely.
Yeah.
You ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right. By the way, how in the hell do they get so many home games? But anyway.
I don't know.
They play the Wisconsin Badgers.
They're usually good.
Defensively sound, usually.
Usually pretty solid.
They go to East Lansing the next week and play Michigan State.
Michigan State's usually ready for them.
And then in a critical game for probably both teams, they play James Franklin and the Penn State Nittany Lions.
I like James Franklin's chances in that game. He's built. Look, you can call James Franklin a creep, and I'm with you. You can call him a bad guy, and I'm with you. Don't tell me he's a bad football coach.
They're going to go to Piscataway and beat the crap out of Rutgers.
Oh, and he'll put up arcade numbers again.
I tell you here, because he understands Shea to an extent just by osmosis, game in Indiana is going to be interesting.
Ooh, that is interesting.
Game against Indiana could be interesting.
Tom Allen, Kane Womack, there might be a little play in there.
And then they close in Columbus, Ohio.
I don't like their chances. Because, again, Urban Meyer is a lot like James Franklin. You can accuse him of a lot of things.
Okay, Michigan's going to lose to Ohio State and Penn State.
Yes.
And then I don't think they're any better than 8-4. Might even be 7-5, considering you got Notre Dame out there at the top of the
schedule. Run me through it again. I'll go WL real quick.
All right, Notre Dame.
Loss.
Western Michigan.
Win.
SMU.
2-1.
Nebraska.
3-1.
At Northwestern.
3-2.
Maryland.
4-2.
Wisconsin.
4-3.
Michigan State.
4-4.
Ooh. Penn State.
4-5.
Rutgers.
5-5.
Indiana.
6-5.
Ohio State.
6-6.
Oh, God. Dear sweet someone, let Ole Miss win an appeal and go 6-6 and get in a bowl game against Michigan. Whatever bowl that takes, let's go play in that bowl.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's what I'll call it. Say, hey, is there any chance that we could become clickbait for just a little while? Is there any chance that we could change our revenue stream just for this month? Just for 1 month? Could we officially become clickbait?
Ole Miss, Michigan Outback Bowl this year?
Hey, John Tallman, listen, I was wondering, just 1 month, can we completely change our algorithm? Subscriptions be damned, then let's just clickbait the you-know-what out of this.
All right.
I don't think we could get some clicks, do you?
Yeah. I need a second before I go into the second portion of this conversation, so I will tell you that the podcast is brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs. TysonDrugs.com is the website. Or there in Holly Springs, you can give them a call at 662-252-2321 and go get your Sildenafil. Spring getting here. Might be getting a little frisky. Sildenafil, $10 pill instead of 50 or 60. Ready as little as 15 minutes and same length of effectiveness as the other guys. So go fill out the form or give them a call. Give them a doctor's name and they'll deliver it wherever you are. Tyson Drugs now also with a sister site here in Oxford, G&M Pharmacy on South Lamar, where they deliver local in the Oxford area.
You think this whole spring thing is a legit thing, or is we just make that up?
I think we make that up, because doesn't research say it's actually more in the winter when it's cold and you're just around the house all the time? Isn't that like a thing?
I would guess. I don't know. I'm too old.
Aren't more kids like born like August, September than anything other time?
Probably so. I'm too old for it to matter anymore.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Just curious.
Okay.
Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're feeling frisky, wanting a Nissan vehicle, that's the place to go. It's just off Interstate 55 in Grenada. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. We tell you about it all the time. Ask about it. Go in. Ask about the lease deals as well. Test drive one. Tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast at rebelgrove.com, and they'll take a little extra care of you. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. Ole Miss back at Swayze on May the 10th. That's a Thursday. The Rebels entertain the Auburn Tigers. If you live in or around the Jackson area and you can't make it up to Swayze that night, it's cool. Come out and see us at Cathead Distillery. Jay Tate and I will be taping a greatest pod in the South. The podcast will start around 5. We'll finish by 6 in time for first pitch. And you can watch Auburn and Ole Miss, game 1 of that series with us. there at Cathead. Of more information to you on that, but go ahead and plant that seed in your mind as we get closer to that series. So that's May the 10th at Cathead in Jackson.
Podcast also brought to you by Community Mortgage. You know them for being in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. 30 years old this year, and all underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. So you can local underwriting and understand your market. Also a leader in condo financing and the float down options. We'll ask Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLO, J-L-O-W-E at communitymtg.com. I did not believe you were aware of this until I tweeted it at you yesterday from a friend of the podcast, Dennis Dodd, on Twitter yesterday afternoon. Sorry, 12:58 p.m. I'm sorry for bungling the name, but I don't watch enough of women's basketball to know.
She's the one that hit the big shot.
The two big shots, State and Connecticut.
Yeah.
Arike Ogunbowale. Sorry.
Ogunbowale, I think.
Sorry.
Whatever.
Quote from Dodd, is allowed to be paid to be on Dancing with the Stars because the NCAA determined her appearance is, quote, unrelated to her basketball abilities.
Yeah, because...
Hold on. But the backup kicker at Central Florida couldn't have a YouTube account because that was all about his football presence.
Let's look at this for a minute.
And here's the thing. I have no problem with the decision. It's just the hypocrisy of a lack of understanding.
Oh, no. First and foremost, bully for her for getting on Dancing with the Stars. Good for you. Awesome.
And had they been consistent, props to the NCAA. But you're just showing how big a buffoon you are.
But to say that she's on there has nothing to do with her basketball abilities. Are you insane? It has everything to do with her basketball abilities. Now, first of all, kudos to her. She made some big-time shots. Is a hell of a basketball player. Congratulations to her. This is no knock on her. You agree, right? At all.
And I'm gonna keep going because I'm going to blow your mind again in a second.
But the only reason that ABC and Dancing with the Stars have heard of this young lady is because of her basketball ability.
No, they threw a dart at a dartboard, picked a college, and then selected a random student. That's what happened.
Okay. Again, that's how they know of her. Good for her. She's a hell of a player, has made big shots in big moments. Good for her, and I'm glad she's getting paid. She deserves to get paid. She's going to go out and get exposure. And hope it works out. I do. I'll cheer for her. But for the love of God, it has everything to do with her basketball status. Everything. And the NCAA wants her to do this because they want to cash in on the next tournament.
With a straight face, that was the quote.
How do you even write that? Literally, had they told me that as said, hey, will you put that quote up? No. Nope. I will not. I'll write that quote and then write 25 column inches destroying it, but no. But then if I did that, I wouldn't get to go to Indianapolis and do the mock tournament bracket. Oh, boy, where I get to hang out with some of my other journalism friends and we can do a mock bracket. And we'll go have shrimp cocktail at St. Elmo's. And the NCAA guys will walk with us and talk with us. And we'll be best buddies. Can Mr. Mars come too? He likes shrimp cocktail. I'd like a chocolate milk, please.
Let me add to this.
There's more?
Well, related.
Do I get to meet NCAA Emily?
Ooh.
She's so pretty.
This time, without sarcasm, friend of the podcast, Austin Miller, yesterday after I tweeted this, sends this to me. And it's in response to the Rice report, okay? But it's a Rice commission, whatever.
Commission.
Commission. Not committee, commission.
It's a commission, Parham.
It's when you know stuff's getting real.
Damn right it is.
This is a quote from the Notre Dame president. Few days ago.
Oh, I've heard this one. Yes.
You've heard these quotes?
Yeah. Gabe and I talked about this.
Okay. Would you like me to read them anyway?
Yeah, because there are people that probably did not hear Gabe and I.
Quote from Mr. Jenkins.
Father Jenkins, John sorry. Jenkins.
Here's the model we're defending. College athletics is young people pursuing degrees on campus, playing sports, and through that activity, we help learning and growing. We could think of it as second tier, maybe third tier professional league. If the direction we go or the direction or someone wants to go is to pay these players, that's what it will become. But what our commission believes is that the NCAA believes that in the interest of college sport, the interest in college, listen to this.
I've heard it.
The NCAA believes is that the interest in college sport is due to the fact that these are students pursuing degrees.
Yeah, that's why all those people are at the game. It has nothing.
With all due respect to the mathathons around the country.
Oh, my God. I'm telling you, man.
Put a big chalkboard up on the video board. Carry the two.
Tone deaf.
How is this not being criticized more nationally?
I just told you.
But my God, the entire country doesn't get to go to the stupid mock draft.
The big guys do. I just told you how. If you criticize them, you don't get to be in the club anymore. You don't get to go to St. Elmo's and have your shrimp cocktail and chocolate milk.
You really like the shrimp cocktail.
It's like their famous appetizer.
Okay. I like a good steakhouse shrimp cocktail. There's nothing wrong with a good steakhouse shrimp cocktail.
I'm not making fun of St. Elmo's. It's great.
You're not criticizing shrimp cocktails.
No. But these are a bunch of national sports writers who don't, they don't go there on their own. They go there on somebody else's dime. And they sit around a table and they basically fellate one another. Not literally, but figuratively. Hell, some of them might do it literally.
Oh, God.
That's why. It's not criticized.
But it's
not criticized because some of the people who cover college sports for a living actually believe that. Pardon my language. Here it comes. Hit a button. They actually believe that shit. You ask me a question and that's the answer. Don't ask me a question if you don't want the answer. That's the answer. They actually believe it. There are people who do what we do for a living who believe that. You know I'm right. 100,000 people go into Tiger Stadium on a Saturday night because those kids are pursuing degrees. I mean, if you believe that, if you as an objective human being believe that to be true, good for you, but I can't have a conversation with you any longer. We just have to agree to disagree and move on.
Now starting at running back for the LSU Tigers, majoring in liberal studies, John Doe.
Yeah. I mean, if you really believe that, then we can't have a conversation anymore. It just, it's silly. You think 108,000 people crowd into Michigan Stadium from Michigan, Ohio State because those kids are pursuing degrees? I mean, do you believe that? I mean, explain to me how that's the case.
At Notre Dame, when they've thrown stuff under the table over the last 5 years to degrees that are sickening, not to the Baylor level, but the next tier.
110,000 people will be at Penn State's opener. Supporting a program that covered up rapes of little boys in the shower of the football building. You think this is about degree pursuit? People love football. That's why. They're there for football. If degree pursuit was so popular, if degree pursuit was so attractive, you wouldn't be able to get in a volleyball game anywhere in the country. You wouldn't be able to get in. Because those kids aren't getting paid and they're pursuing degrees. They're legitimately college student athletes. Matt Mott's soccer team is legitimately a group of kids who are pursuing their degrees while playing college athletics. And while they get pretty good crowds at Ole Miss soccer games, it's not just like so packed that you can't get in the building.
Yeah, the SEC men's golf tournament at Sea Island last week didn't look like Augusta National.
It didn't. And those are all legitimately young men who are pursuing degrees while playing golf. That makes them, honest to God, student athletes. Nope, they're not. I've been to some events at places where that's just not the case. Not full.
And you think, do you believe Father Jenkins really believes it, or is he completely full of crap? Which one, where are you going on that one? It's full of crap, right?
Yeah. There's no way that a person
of... What holiday did you get alerted to?
Gus and Campbell's birthdays tomorrow.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
I don't think he believes that. I don't think there's any part of him that believes that.
It's impossible to believe that. Defies logic.
It defies logic that someone who's intelligent enough to become the president of Notre Dame is stupid enough to believe that. So, no, it's a lie. It's an absolute lie told for what purpose? Here's the best question. What is the purpose of that lie?
Because it keeps him from stirring crap with all of his other president buddies.
And say nothing. No one made him talk. I mean, did anyone go to South Bend and say, I've got an Uzi on you, Father John. Either speak now. No, dude, he didn't talk. He could have said, I'm busy.
The commission put out a statement. I'm good with their
commission put out a statement. I'll refer you to the commission. I've got a mass to hold. So here's my question for you. You always ask me questions. Here's my question for you. What's the purpose of that statement? Is it because they believe the public to be that naive?
Well, they're hopeful. Yeah, I'm going to make this statement, and there's going to be some dude out there that believes me. And because this remains, at least, even though it's complete and utter bullcrap, this remains our mission statement, if you will.
Okay.
So I'm supporting it.
Okay.
I'm supporting the mission statement.
That makes as much sense as anything. It doesn't change the absolute hypocrisy of it all, but yeah, Notre Dame is so student athlete oriented that it pays its football coach $5 million.
They made a decision that a girl who hit two game winning shots in the Final Four was picked for a national celebrity show based off.
She went to Notre Dame, right?
Being a student
at Notre Dame.
Yes, that's why I pulled that quote out.
Yeah. So the president of Notre Dame, he doesn't believe that the students should be paid, but he probably signed off on the young lady from the basketball team going on Dancing with the Stars.
Under the guise that she was just chosen to be because she's a student.
Yeah, nothing to do with basketball abilities. Because I assure you, when Aaron Andrews and the guy that used to be on America's Funniest Home Videos, when they do the interviews with her, when they do the promos, they won't mention...
See, that's the catch. That's going to be the funniest part of this.
Won't mention those shots. Won't show that highlight.
This stupid show is going to open with her hitting that shot.
Of course, it's going to open with the call that is it Kevin Nagandi? I can't remember. Somebody on the call was Amin. I don't know.
Whomever.
It was a great call.
Yeah.
And they're going to do that call. They're going to play that call because he nailed it. 20 seconds of broadcast perfection. And they'll show that highlight, and they'll show her being mobbed by her teammates in a basketball uniform. You know what else, Chase? Her first dance. People ask, how do I know this? I live in a house full of girls, and when David Ross was in it, we watched. Her first dance will be basketball themed.
Will it?
Yes. And again, good for her, man. Become a star. Make money. Cool. I'm all for her cashing in. Let me make that perfectly clear. I am all for her cashing in. But if I'm Jalen Hurts today, I'm pissed off. Because my window closed. I was the starting quarterback at Alabama for 2 seasons. Do you know how much money I could have legitimately made? As the starting quarterback at the University of Alabama? Tua Tagovailoa has thrown one meaningful pass at the University of Alabama and could cash in right now in ways that are immeasurable. He's got normal knees, Chase. He could blow a knee out.
You mean to throw one more final ha-ha in this?
Sure.
You know what the theme is for this Dancing with the Stars?
I do not.
Season?
I do not.
Every single participant
is
an athlete. It is an all-athlete edition of Dancing with the Stars.
It's because they found that the athletes are, I know this will shock you, the athletes are good at dancing. They have good feet.
And because they're running out of people. I mean, we're about five seasons from one of us getting an invite at this point. Like, it's...
God, I hope not. You ever watch the show?
A little.
It's a good show. Yeah, it's entertaining.
Whatever.
It's a good model. They get good ratings.
Yeah. Sorry, people on this show, ready?
Yeah.
Tonya Harding.
Okay. I'm interested.
Adam Rippon, apparently a figure skater. I don't know.
Yeah, he's a figure skater.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
That'll be interesting.
70 years old, Kareem.
7 feet two, 70 years old.
Maria Nagasu, another figure skater. Apparently a lot of figure skaters.
And they probably will look very attractive in the little skirts.
Johnny Damon.
Okay.
Chris Masder, he is luge.
Okay.
He won a medal for the Americans in the luge.
Okay, good for him.
Arike, whatever, the basketball player at Notre Dame.
Yeah. No, she's just a student.
Only how you know her, she made buzzer-beating baskets in their last two games of the NCAA tournament.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I know. Crazy. Jenny Finch.
Okay. Attractive.
And Josh Norman.
Who?
Washington Redskins.
Oh, yeah. The cornerback.
Jamie Anderson, two-time Olympic snowboarder.
That's okay. Good.
Yeah.
He'll probably do well, too.
Yeah. Just random student picked out to join Johnny Damon and Kareem.
Yeah. Johnny Damon, Jenny Finch, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Tonya Harding, and the girl from Notre Dame. She's just a student.
What do they have in common? They're human beings.
All have two legs.
Oh, too much more of this, and I'm going to need a cruise myself, so I'm probably going to need to call Brandon White at Keys to Dream Travel, because it's completely free service. I can give him a call, and I don't owe him anything, because he takes care of dining and fast pass reservations, transportation, anything else related to your vacations, an expert in getting you out of line, and on to more rides. You mentioned the podcast. I could do that and get $25 Disney gift card for booking the vacation. Contact him again for a no-obligation quote at Brandon at keystodreamtravel.com, 901-634-8687. Also, ask about the free dining special running through, I think, August to December, the actual dates for the trips.
Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB is locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home and all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with the live person, all without having to press 10 buttons, without a 5-minute wait. OUB is offering 1-year CDs at 1.75% annual percentage yield, 3-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. With the 3-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's 3-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, go to liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. The podcast also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. 7 South Tailgating is celebrating 10 years of business this fall. So whether you're coming up for all of the games, you're coming up just for the SEC games, or you're coming up for a one game, two games, whatever package you are looking for, they've got it. No matter how complicated your tailgate, no matter how simple your tailgate, whether you are setting up your own personal gear or whether you're renting everything from 7 South, if you use 7 South Tailgating once, you'll never tailgate without them again. No one can match their customer service, their attention to detail. It is 7SouthTailgating.com. We'll have guests on our shows throughout the course of the week. They'll join you. They'll join us and you on the Billy's Pecans hotline. Let Billy's Pecans handle your corporate gifting. They know the perfect crunch for every palate, whether it's a gift for a corporate client, presents for the staff, or tokens of goodwill for a referral from 5 to 5,000 orders. They'll handle it all with expertise and with excellence, all with their signature Southern style, with items at every price point you simply can't choose wrong. Homemade treats, easy ordering, professionally packaged, shipped fresh and direct. It's the process of doing business with Billy's Pecans and More, and it couldn't be any more satisfying. Billy'sPecans.com or 1-800-624-7404.
So a couple of things as we close today's show. First, thanks to David Kellum over the weekend. I had written about Stacey Blackwell. Most people remember this from February, the blind Ole Miss fan that has been listening to David for more than a decade and letting David be kind of his eyes for Ole Miss fandom and Ole Miss athletics. Over the weekend on Saturday, David and Stacey met. We surprised Stacey with a meeting of David Kellum. You can see that video on the site, on Twitter, and on Facebook. But appreciate David for being helpful in that. He was proud to do it. David Kellum, one of the better people you could ever ever meet. So thanks to him for that.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I've ever heard anybody say a negative thing about David.
Pretty much State fans would be about it. Yeah.
That's beyond, yeah, whatever. Yeah. David's as nice a person as you'll meet.
Yeah. What is the – I'm trying to think here. Maybe all your kids were mild-mannered, never had this problem. Close the podcast. Do you ever have kind of one of those tantrum public moments where you were embarrassed with one of your kids where they wouldn't behave?
No.
Really?
No.
All three of them. Making me feel much better about my parenting skills currently.
No, I mean, I for whatever reason, no.
I was that kid too. My child can be a tad rambunctious at times. She's a climber, a runner. Typically fine. Handled double-decker Saturday morning pretty well for the most part. However, she loves dogs. We'll go to any dog, try to pet said dog, loves dogs.
Okay.
However, when she interacts with said dog, she would like a certain amount of reciprocation from said dog in some way or another.
She would like for the dog to respond favorably to
in
her.
Whatever petting. It is that she's trying to accomplish with said canine at the moment.
Okay.
This was, I don't know, 10:30 Saturday morning. So double-decker is not crazy, but there's people around trying to get it done in the morning for the game and doing the family outing thing, okay? Running to Richard Cross, and his dog, Thatcher, was there. Carly Ann was very big on Thatcher. Said, yeah, pat him. It's fine. He's a good dog. She goes to grab some goldfish and feed Thatcher goldfish. I kind of look at Richard like, hey, it's cool. Yeah, fine. Give him goldfish. Well, Thatcher didn't want the goldfish. Thatcher would not eat the goldfish.
Okay.
So the goldfish laid on the ground in front. Well, Carly Ann then wanted to pick the goldfish up off the street because we're right there in front of Square Books, right in the middle of the road.
Okay.
Would like to pick them up and put them back in the pouch. And I'm like, no, you can't do that either. Let's just leave the goldfish. Let's move on from the crosses and move on with our day. At this point, she lays down in the middle of the road and starts screaming. I can't get her up. She will not stop. I'm bribing. I'm walking over to the Beagle Bagel booth to get a cookie. I'm doing anything I know, and I cannot get her out of the road screaming for several minutes.
It's all Thatcher's fault.
What do you do?
Well, I mean, should have gone and talked to Thatcher some more. Said, eat the damn goldfish, man.
You don't have any parental advice here?
At that point, no. You just deal with it. Pick her up.
You pick her up and get her out of as much of public as you can, as quickly as you can.
Pick her up and move on. And
yeah, my skin was crawling.
I'm sure.
I was not handling it well and was fine the rest of the day. No issues. But Thatcher caused a bit of an issue right there. And here we are. So anyway, I'm dealing with that. You're dealing with college. We've got all ends of the spectrum here with parental choices. We're trying to count right now. Two appears to be her favorite number. She says two over and over and over again.
Okay.
But it's okay. Getting pretty good ways into the ABCs. Know all the colors. Know
That's
all
good.
Those things. It's fine. It's coming.
She'll be 17 before you know it. That's how that works.
Two going on 17.
Yeah. 17's an interesting age.
They're very smart at 17.
Very smart.
A little scared too, though. It's underneath. You got to go get to it, but it's there.
It's there.
I mean, Arkansas is a long way from home.
It is. And she said Oklahoma was too far, and I was like, well, it's not that much further. Keeping this real.
So I don't leave a question open-ended for our podcast listeners that were on the edge of their seat. August is the month that the most children are born each year. There's exceptions, obviously, but on average. By a good many, actually. They're in August, September, a big number as well. The lowest month of the year is February. So spring to summer, yeah.
Yeah.
So completely false on our friskiness. It's a winter cold thing.
I guess so.
I don't know if this is the United States. I assume it is. There were four, no, that would be right. What country would that be? 4 million kids born in a year. Is that a country?
I don't know. 4 million kids?
Yeah, the stat I have is for kids in each month for a year. The credit is the CDC, the Center for Disease Control.
That's probably right.
Is it?
4 million kids born in February?
No, for the year.
Oh, that doesn't sound right. That sounds small.
It sounds really small. It has August at 387,000 for the most, and the least is 319.
Oh, well, maybe it is 4 million. I don't know. Math's not my thing.
This number's from 2006. It said 2006, the most recent year for which statistics are available. August had the most U.S. births, just as it did in 10 of the previous 16 years, with the CDC estimating that 9% of all births occurred then. February had the least.
So people are making babies in December. It's Christmas. It's holidays.
Everybody's in a little better mood.
Everybody's in kind of a festive mood. You're going to parties.
I mean, that's true.
Cold outside.
That's a good point, though. The parties thing really is a good point.
Yeah. Holidays.
There's typically a little nog being floated around here or there.
Yeah. I guess so.
We need like a somebody that specializes in this on the podcast. I can make a day.
We could.
If you're out there, this is your specialty, yeah. let me know. Not that, the science thereof. Holler at me on...
Because I can explain how it works if you'd like. I mean, we've already gone far enough down the road today. Why not, you know?
All right.
So today, boys and girls, on the podcast, we tell you how babies are made.
Storks. All storks.
Storks. Just drop them off.
We'll have guests throughout the week, hopefully, so we don't have to keep talking about subjects like this. Check rebelgrove.com. I'll have little covers later today. Baseball again Wednesday against Arkansas Pine Bluff, and then at South Carolina this weekend. Talk to you tomorrow.